Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hey, I'm back from Dubai. We're black, we're brown. Ambition.
I'm so glad you're back. You know I hate singing without you.
Hey, Mandra, how are you?
Hey, Tiff. I'm good. Welcome back.
First of all, I saw the face of your Halloween costume. I was like, wait a minute. Did you go as a witch? It looked amazing.
I did. I dressed up as a witch. It was the easiest thing to do. And I really liked that wig at Party City. Yeah, it was so fun. We had a fun little spooky Halloween edition of the show with Delianne and Mark Russell from Better Wallet. It was fun. Rio was not having the wig. He said, really? No like mama, new hair. He saw me and take your pick. Yeah. And then that afternoon, it was such a crazy day. I was fighting the same kind of, we talked over the weekend. I was like, I can't talk. I gotta save my voice. I got so sick, and finally today I feel normal, but it was like a 10-day virus, something like that. And it really was hitting me on Halloween day. And thank goodness Rio didn't care much that I didn't go trick-or-treating. I was like, we're gonna hand out the candy, which he really enjoyed. But 5 p.m. on Halloween day, when I had the wig and the makeup on and I was like, with my box of Kleenex, just going to chill out, the Today Show emailed me, Tiff.
That's awesome.
They said, can you be downstairs? Well, they didn't know I was downstairs. Can you do a taped interview? And I was like, no, literally in the wig and the makeup. And I said, sure, I'll see you in an hour. So shout out to having my cousin. She came in and clutched to watch Rio. And I've never taken off so much purple makeup so fast.
When does it air?
Pretended like I wasn't ill. It aired the next morning. It was just crazy. Ooh. It was part of a segment on the pay transparency law in New York passed last week. So now, which is so exciting. It makes everything so much easier. It's the way it should be. But New York, for 4 million workers now, will be impacted. So if you have a private firm, most companies basically, who are listing jobs and have at least one employee based in New York, have to have a salary range now, which means that now it's a good faith salary range. And what I and a lot of Twitter sleuths have found is like companies are taking good faith with a huge grain of salt, and they are out here with these crazy wide, like I saw a bank manager for Apple Bank today that was 165 to 240 was the salary range. So there's still room to go, and like obviously I hope that they make amendments to make it more specific, but a huge win, very exciting. I got on the Today Show. What the hell,
that's awesome.
It was not a bad Halloween day.
Well, we're Today Show Twins. I go on set tomorrow morning.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Let me make myself a note. I gotta be like,
what
Logan,
you talking about?
Holiday, like savings all around, but like how to prepare for the holidays, especially with this upcoming recession. I totally forgot. I'm like, oh girl, I gotta tell Logan, like, girl, tell the girls to watch. Let me make myself a note to myself. Like, but yeah, so Dubai was okay. I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought. Yeah, well, here's the thing. I had a good time. I went with this black travel group, a woman named Kina. She does this thing called the Dubai Blackout. She brings anywhere from 200 to upwards of 400 black folks to Dubai every year. And so, like, the general premise of the tour and things, that was fun. We had a good time. But two things I realized. Like, one, I don't necessarily want to travel with a group that big. Cause you're not as nimble. You can't do as much. Certainly though, there was a lot of like one-off time that like my sister and I did. My sister Carol came with me. But also two, Dubai is way more commercial than I guess I anticipated. it felt like the Disneyland of the Middle East, you know? It, like, I like a lot. I like some grit. I like history. I like, oh my gosh, you know, this is what you eat here. This is what you wear here. But there was a lot of like a mirroring of Western culture that I already experienced day by day, you know? Like, honestly, I can't tell you one, like, I had food from other countries, but just not what they eat in Dubai. I couldn't tell you. I'm like, I had sushi, I had Indian food, and everything was sublime and supreme. I mean, you wouldn't see one piece of like tissue on the ground on the highway. Everything was like perfect. And it was super safe, especially for women and kids, because they always, like, you could literally take a taxi that was just a woman's taxi. They were like, if they were like, they had this thing called the Global Festival, where like they had all these different countries represented in this kind of like Disney World-esque like marketplace. And they had like a woman's night, you know? And so, you know, you're gonna be super safe. You know, everybody was super nice. But I guess I was just kind of like, oh, I could experience this in the US in this part. Like, this is like California and this is like New York. And it's like intentional. I think the initial king, like the first king of Dubai, he was a world traveler. And what he actually did was go to the Guggenheim and say, how much for the rights to be able to build an exact replica in Dubai? And go to Paris and say, how much to be able to build the Eiffel Tower, you know? So it
sounds
was
like
just
a very extravagant version of like Vegas, where you have,
yes,
like,
that's what everybody kept saying. Like, it was a very high end, which, and Vegas honestly wasn't my fave.
Yeah, you know, so which Vegas is the same way. So, you go there for like the different, yes, you just get, it's like a buffet of all the different cuisine, yes, and shows and glitz. And I know about it, Dubai, is like, I don't know, the really terrible Sex and the City 2 movie. And like when Fast and the Furious had a I think they went to Dubai, but like, yes, super luxe and like live your best life.
Yeah, it's
and
very,
be glamorous.
Very fancy. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, you know,
well, it's not bad.
So
for
I mean, all in all, I'm glad I went, you know, I'm glad I went because I had a good time. But I will say the part that I really like, because there are seven kingdoms in the UAE, the United, United Arab Emirates. So I guess an emirate is a kingdom. And so I really liked, we went to Abu Dhabi and they have the most incredible mosque there that it's like almost like reminiscent of the Taj Mahal, which I've been to in India. But it was so beautiful. And that's what I kind of came for. That's the energy I like when I travel, where it's like, oh, I'm not in Kansas anymore. It was so beautiful. It's like all made out of all white, like marble. It was just... it was just so beautiful. You had to wear like the traditional abaya, which is like this kind of like loose fitting garment. And, you know, we had to wear the hijab. And so that was just beautiful. And so, but like I said, all in all, I had a good time. And I just wanted to give you an update about the condo. So I found some more tea. Let me tell you something. When you're going to purchase a property, see if you can like, you know, especially if it's a condo, see if you can like get to know some of the neighbors, because when I tell you, these neighbors been talking, honey. And they were like, oh, that condo? Girl, that was on sale last year. I knew I had seen it on realtor.com last year. So I'll kind of give you some numbers. So it was on realtor.com last year for like $650, $675, something crazy. But that's when, you know, remember when homes were going for like crazy amount. So I guess, you know, sis was trying to get her coin, which I understand, but it didn't sell. Because I just think that she overreached with the price. Well, obviously, because the market is going to tell you. You know, because things were literally, I remember in my neighborhood in particular, which the condo's in the same neighborhood that I live in now, things were going for like 50, 75 over asking. Things weren't even hitting the market. You know, and so for the fact that it didn't sell means that although it's beautiful, it was priced more than what people are willing to pay, because the association fee is kind of high. It's $1,250, you know, on top of the fact you have to pay taxes a month. You know, so you're looking at least an overhead of like, I don't know, $1,800 to $2,000 a month, just even if you pay cash, which is what I was willing to do. So $650, like last year, didn't sell during the height when everybody was selling, delisted it, put it back on the market this year, starting at $575, didn't sell, brought it down to $550, didn't sell. It's now $539, still has not sold. It's been seven months on the market. So, you know, sis was like, you know, I did my little research. I've been asking questions. you know, is there a lot of noise? I was like, you know, the neighbors have been awesome, just like sharing, like, this is what they like about the
How
village.
Do you get in touch with the neighbors? Do you just go?
Well, the first time I went, I realized I had, like, because it's Newark and I live here, there are a handful of people that I knew. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you lived here. You know, and then so it was like one woman I knew that lived there. And then she was like, you know who you should talk to? My friend, such and such. She's in 4B. Let me make a text intro. You know, and so that's how I got to speak to, like, and I even got to see two other apartments besides hers. And they were beautiful. I was like, oh, wow. And so it just, like, so I put in an all cash offer for less than what, you know. Apparently, I offended her. And so, yeah. Well, honestly, I don't mind. I'm like, sis.
What does that mean and what does it matter?
So when you are putting in an offer for a property, you know, if you put in lower than what, you know, the person is asking, you run the risk of the seller being mad. You know, and you have to ask yourself, are you willing to walk away? Which, I live in a beautiful home. That's paid off. And so I was willing to walk away because what to me, although I am looking for change, I am not in a rush. The truth is, this place took me by surprise. I was going to wait until the recession of 2023 and get me a deal. Like that was my
clear
intent.
Sale.
Yes, for real, because it's happening, you know? Yeah. And so, but this took me by surprise. I was like, okay, you know, I'm willing to consider this because, you know, this is a beautiful space and it's in the neighborhood that I want to stay in. So I put in an offer that I felt was more than fair because I also found out, because you could see it's public knowledge how much she paid for it, you know, and because she had the place fully renovated. And there is a guy who renovates the condo, like almost all the condos there. And so one of the neighbors was like, oh, you should talk to, let's call him Paul. You should talk to Paul, because I think he did the apartment. And so I spoke with Paul and asked him all that he did. And it was like all the electrical, all the plumbing, which is great because that's the expensive stuff. The kitchen, the bathrooms, which also the expensive things. And so I was like, okay, so all the hardcore things that are going to cost a lot. And then I asked him how much, you know, so this doesn't include materials, just his, like, you know, just his rate. And it was about 60,000. I asked him to give me a range. So about 60,000. I was like, okay. So I started to do the math. I said, say 60 plus another 40 for materials. Let's just say you bought it for 280, then plus another 100,000 on top of that. That's 380 that you've put in because the condo was bought in 2019. So then that helped to inform the kind of offer I'm going to make.
That was a quick turnaround. She's flipping it.
Girl.
Does she even live there?
No. And okay. So but maybe she was attending because honestly, it's very, if you look at the pictures, it's very specific taste. So I think that she intended to, I'm assuming, because why else renovate it in such a way that's very specific from the materials that she used. But then for whatever reason, you know, something else happened. I think she owns homes other places because she's a business owner. So, but think about that. You buy something for $280, then you put $100,000 into $380, and then you try to sell it for $650, $675. That's like a $300,000 profit, which, girl, I'm mad at you. But it didn't work out because the market said, I don't think so. And even at this current price, the market is still saying no. And we know that because it hasn't sold. And so, but, you know, at the end of the day, it's her property. But something interesting that's happening is that there's another property. So this is a 4-bedroom, like 3.5 bath or whatever. There's another 4-bedroom, 3.5 bath coming online in that same building. Because up until now, that apartment has been a unicorn in that there are no real comps because there is no other 4-bedroom, 3.5 bath that sold within a year in that neighborhood. And so here's one that's coming online. Now, from what I understand, the person who's selling it, they've already purchased a home. So they're very motivated to sell, which means let's just say they sell it for $475, $490. Now, all of a sudden, there's a hardcore comp. So you're trying to sell for $539. If they sell basically the same apartment for $490, that is the new comp. $539 is going to be nearly impossible because one, even if someone has the cash like me, they're going to be like, but why should I pay that when something similar is sold for less? And then if someone does get a mortgage, the appraisal is not going to, you're not going to get the appraisal because appraisals are based upon comps, which are similar properties that have recently sold. And this other property is on a higher floor and it's fully renovated as well. So it's a true comp. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm actually going to look at that property too, because you never know, maybe I want it. And so I'm going to look at it, you know, and if I don't, I will sit and wait to see, you know, what her move is. But I'm not in a rush. That's one thing, is that for those of you who are looking to buy and purchase, there's always deals to be found. And if you are not in a rush, try not to rush, because it's very easy to get like, because I mean, my realtor, I could tell she's kind of annoyed with me, because she was like, oh, you should have put in for like, you know, higher. And I was just like, why should I pay more? Because we're in a market where it's hot potato, where these homes were being passed around and it was like this hot market and someone's going to get stuck with the potato. And it's very clear, if I purchased it at the 539, it would be me, because we see already we're in a market where, go on realtor.com or any of this, you will literally see almost every home has a downward arrow of this home was recently reduced. Like, that's the market where it is no longer a seller's market, but it's actually not a buyer's market either. And we're in a rare, fair market. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't make sense for me to overspend. Now, in 10 years, do I think I get my money back? Sure. But it doesn't make sense for me to overspend, because at the end of the day, I'm looking at my holistic financial life, and it's an opportunity cost. Because do you know what $500,000 can do in this market? Amazon is the lowest it's been in like how many years? 20 years? You know, $500,000 in the market now could potentially be $1 million, $2 million in the next 5-6 years. And so knowing that, I just was like, nah, I'm not willing to go. I'm willing to like, well, she won't even negotiate, so that's fine. But I'm not willing to go to the price, because I've heard behind the scenes that she's like, I'm not lowering it anymore, which is her right, you know. But for me, I'm not willing to overspend on something that I know. Now, is it worth the money she's asking, or is it, yes, but is it valued at the money she's asking? No, because something can be worth a thing, but if the market says I will not purchase it, then the value has been stated, which is like, no, not this. It's not because of the thing itself, it's just because of the economy that we're in now, you just can't get that price. So I'll give you guys some updates, you know, and we'll see. I mean,
so it seems like that is off the table then, and you're gonna look for a different property.
No, because I'm open. Here's the thing. Like I said, I'm fortunate in that, you know, I don't have any mortgages. My house is beautiful. I'm just open. To me, if the right opportunity comes along, I will take advantage of it. But if not, it might be 2 or 3 years and I'll stay here. You know, I'm just basically, it's just like, if the right opportunity comes along, then I'll take advantage of it. But I think it's just, I think it's important for our listeners to hear, like, here's what's happening. 2023, I mean, there's some economists that are like, we've been in a recession since January 2022. That's what some economists are saying. Because, you know, we had the 2 quarters of economic shrinkage of our GDP, which is like the output of a country, right? The financial output of a country. So some people are saying that, you know, we've been in a recession, but I believe by 2023, it will be an undeniable recession, meaning like the government will say so, everybody will be on agreement that, and two, although the job market is currently still strong, I think it's lagging behind what's actually happening, because like there are a lot of small businesses, including myself, we've had to make some shrinkage. Like, you know, like I think in 2023, you're going to see that people are going to be let go, and maybe they've already gotten their walking papers, like Twitter, where in February, like they've been told now, but in February, that's when it'll officially be done. So I think in 2023, we're also going to see an uptick in unemployment. You know, like, although we haven't seen it yet, I just think the job market is lagging. So you're going to see home prices decrease because they've been on a tear, you know, and then you're also going to see, I think, a lot more people, unfortunately, losing their jobs, and inflation is still has a hold on us. And you know, Jerome Powell, you know, from the Federal Reserve Bank has made it very clear that he's going to do whatever it takes to bring inflation underfoot. You know, if that means increasing the interest rate again, which they just did last week. And so interest rates are higher. Mortgage interest rates are higher as a result. I think we're at like 7% for a 30-year mortgage. Yeah, I think we should. I think our next episode, we should really talk about preparation for the recession and like what our listeners to do. But I'm just sharing that so you understand like my thinking about, you know, whether or not to purchase a property. And if I do, I want to do so in a way that, because at the end of the day, buying a home is probably the most expensive choice most of us will ever make. And I don't want to do so just because I'm like, I love it. You know, it's like, okay, girl, it's going to be a lot of homes you love. Let's talk about the financial ramifications of that purchase.
Well, I'm glad you brought up layoffs. I mean, as a career coach, I'm already seeing it in the Mandy Moneymakers. And it's one of the reasons why, yeah, I mean, not huge numbers, but certainly some people in our community have been laid off this in the past few months. Now, one was laid off in August and already has a great job earning more than she was getting paid from the job that laid her off. It took her two and a half months, I think. So it was a long wait, but she was able to bounce back. So I think it's like what I'm seeing is, yes, layoffs are happening and it's just par for the course. You know, I really approach career coaching from a realistic position of layoffs happen. I think if you're going to have a long career, it's probably going to happen to you at some point. I have been laid off myself. And the message for me is always career resiliency. Like, how can you create professional resiliency so that you have like a network who can support you if you need support, if you're to be laid off? So people who you can reach out to and let them know, I'm open to an opportunity. And because of the like relationships that you've built and the reputation that you have in your field, that you'll be able to bounce back a little bit more quickly than if you're starting cold. And I think on Friday, half of Twitter's workforce, did you hear that? They laid off half the workforce, which is just brutal. But then they were calling some people back and saying, just never mind, we think you should come back. You're too essential.
No, I didn't hear that.
What is Elon doing? It's awful. And he's already tweeted like vote Republican and how he's one of his first missions is to, fight back against parody accounts because a lot of people parody Elon Musk because he is.
I saw that Kathy Griffin, they kicked her off as a result.
Really?
Ugh, yeah.
So he's a bully. He's such a freaking billionaire bully. And it's a shame, you know, that a man like him can just wield his influence and his huge financial power and just take over a whole company like that. And Twitter just felt like the people's company in a weird way. I mean, it's a business, yeah, right? But it doesn't feel like that anymore. I don't want to use it. But it's not the only ones. Like, we're going to be seeing, and this is heading into the fourth quarter. We're already in the fourth quarter. Layoffs are really common before the holidays. So
I was going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, you should absolutely be preparing for what happens if you were to be laid off. So I would be, and a lot of the same practices that can help you prepare professionally can also help you financially. So, you know, get your emergency funds shored up, cut back on expenses if you can. You know, of course, dust off that resume and be looking, you know, take interview opportunities as they come to you and keep your networks fresh and warm. So, you know, look for opportunities to connect to former colleagues and peers in your network and let them know what you're interested in. And certainly if you're hearing whispers, you know, some of these layoffs don't happen out of nowhere. You hear whispers at your company and some companies tell you, you know, like they have the hiring freezes and hiring pauses. That's a good indication. Potentially layoffs could happen if these freezes are not enough. So what can you do to bounce back and how can you use your network to do that?
So I have a question. So Mandy, because you told me it took her 2 months on average. When things are not bad, how long are typically people or your Mandy Moneymakers, how long have they, like if they lost their job, how long before they replaced it typically?
Yeah, well, I've only seen, I think, 3 Mandy Moneymakers. So it's not a huge statistical sample, but 3 Mandy Moneymakers have been laid off since August. And one worked in HR, one worked for a big health coaching, like a kind of like Uber for fitness coaching. A company called Noom, and then another.
Noom. Yes, yes.
Yeah, and she was in like equity, diversity, equity. It's these like HR roles, the 2 that I've had, and then I forget where the third one works. I need to go back and check. But like I said, the first one who was laid off. Actually, she was only laid off 3 months after joining the company, which same thing happened to me. Last one hired, first one fired. You know, tale as old as time. She was laid off in August, and she had two interviews going at two good job prospects going at the same time, dragging their feet. Because I do think at companies you're seeing a lot of uncertainty, and even if you had like headcount approved for open roles, I think recruiters and HR are still getting mixed signals, probably from higher ups on, can we fill this headcount? You know. One of my Mandy Moneymakers is in at a big Silicon Valley company right now that you all would know. And she is interviewing or was interviewing rather at Amazon. And then her hiring process was put on hold. So, yeah, which is, you know, luckily she has a great job to shelter in. But I'm definitely seeing it happen. And the first one that I mentioned that was laid off in August, she just got a great new job in October. So it took her 2.5 months or so. So I think what you said about jobs sort of lagging what's happening in the market's true. I think we have to take a realistic look at it. And what gives me hope is that, yes, layoffs are happening, but I'm also seeing that people are finding those opportunities. And the second one who I mentioned who got laid off from the health and health coaching company, she's had interviews at great firms, and she's really, you know, optimistic. And both of these women have been executing everything that they've learned through the Mandy Moneymakers, you know, really leveraging their networks, not being shy about posting on LinkedIn, even about their journey post layoff, you know, how it's been going and what they're seeing. And, but it's a reality. So I definitely think that, we should be, if you're working 9 to 5, that this is one of those times where it's like, okay, what am I doing to create more resiliency so that if, when something this happens, yeah.
You can, we should definitely I think we should have like a recession, like, you know, like literally like take questions Q&A on, like our BAQA recession questions, and then like so we could really deep dive into like how to prepare your career, how to prepare your business, and how to prepare, you know, your personal finances, like those three things. So I think that would be so helpful for our listeners, because it doesn't have to be this big, bad, scary thing, but certainly, you know, the first recession, I had no idea. I bought a house at top of market, like, da, 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 I'm 25. I'm out here doing big girl thing. Recession? What's a recession? Russ, Googling it. Wait, what? Well, ooh, girl, they say people lose their jobs, but not teachers. Oh, me too. So yeah. My first introduction to recession was rough. And so we don't want that for you. You know, there's a lot that, you know, we wish we would have known. And I'm way more prepared now. That's why I was like, Tiffany, even though I would buy this place and I wouldn't have a mortgage, you know, I'm still committing to like $21,000 a year and just overhead, just basic overhead, which, not to say I can't afford that, but I was just like, what's the desired outcome, and does this meet it, or just does it meet some of it, you know? And so I think almost all of our choices are also financial choices. And if we keep those in mind, then I truly believe that you can, you know, you can make a choice that meets at least most of your criteria, you know, like, and so, yeah. So I just think that I'm glad that, you know, they get to kind of come along the ride with us as we like navigate this, because I love in real time hearing, like, even though I know it's not this large cross section of the Mandy Moneymakers, but it's real life happening to real people that we get to see, like, what's happening when it comes to the job market. How long did it take? And then too, I think one of the biggest takeaways is like, look what happens when you actually have help navigating that space, versus maybe if, you know, maybe it would have been 4 months or 5 months if she was out here alone instead of getting
and not feeling absolutely. And like the support of having a place you can go and say, y'all, I got laid off today. I'm kind of freaking out. And, you know, it's been really wonderful to see the makers kind of just cover these women and cover their fellow makers. this is my first recession as a business owner. So I'm even thinking, am I going to sink this much into my, like, my solo 401k, or should I keep more cash, you know, in my reserves this year? Yeah.
Well, we can talk about it, because honestly, like, I've been preparing, honey. Like, I was like, during COVID, I was freaked out. I was like, we had 1 month worth of emergency savings. And I said, this not enough. So now all of my companies have 6 months of emergency savings. And well, we're going to talk because, like I said, I think there's so much stuff that we could do to prepare. But we also have pivot plans of, like, I call it going to the bank. I tell us to all, like, my mentees and my mentor, Tiffany.com, is that, like, you should have this thing where I call it, where it's like you have your regular business model. But if stuff is, you know, the young people say, if shit gets thick, then I can go to the bank. And sometimes going to the bank is like, I can do consulting. Like, for example, for me personally, I know that if I wanted, I could do one-on-one consulting and make quite a bit of money. I don't particularly want to do one-on-one consulting, but if things got really bad, that's the bank for the Budgetista. Back when I first started the Budgetista, the bank was babysitting and tutoring. It was like, oh my gosh, the Budgetista made no money, but that's okay. I babysat and tutored to make money instantly. And so I think every business owner should have some ways, even if it's not ways that you're currently doing, that you could tap into that bank and say, if I had to, I could do this, 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 this. Like, I know you don't particularly like editing, being an editor anymore, but you know, if you had to, you could
take
do
me
that
back
and make some right. You can make some coin in the meantime.
I didn't burn those bridges on the way out.
Exactly. That's why it's important. Yep. So no, but this is good. I mean, I just think, like, you know, well, by the time you guys hear this episode, you know, officially voting will be over. You know, I know.
About it. I'm so scared.
I know. But I mean, here's the thing. I told myself, regardless of what happens, life moves on, meaning that you have to, whether it's a Republican House, Senate, that, like, you will have to learn to navigate. Whether it's all Democrat, you'd have to learn to navigate. And that's how life looks like, you know, it's so cyclical, and you will manage, and we will, you know, the key is, with the tools available to me, how do I make the most of it? And that's all that can be asked of you. So, you know, just keep that in mind, that, like, you know, there have been worse that's happened and there have been better that's happened. And either way, you're still here. So
absolutely. And it's such a, it's like a Buddhist way of looking at things, that in life there are intense moments of joy and ups, and everyone's making money and it's all great. And then you also have to be ready for the other foot to drop. And I think that it's not pessimism, it's realism. And that's what I like to bring to the table. But there's still room to be optimistic. It's just about, okay, let's be optimistic and cautiously optimistic moving forward.
Yeah. And plan either way.
Absolutely. Well, should we take a quick breaky break and come
we
right
should.
Back?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I got to think of a booster break. Dang. What was I going to do? Be right back. Hey, BA fam. This episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. All right, BA fam, you know we work hard and we play hard, but when it comes to investing and having your money in the market, you want your money to be working for you. That's exactly what the Betterment Automated Investment and Savings app can help it do. Keeps your money out there working hard and kicking you know what. I love Betterment because it makes it easy for even a beginning investor to figure out how to put their money in the market and set it and forget it and be at peace with that, because you know Betterment has got you covered with their automated investment and savings app. Their technology is going to give you advanced tools that are built to help you maximize those returns. All you got to do is visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. Hey, BA fam, our fellow entrepreneurs and creatives, this message is sponsored by Squarespace. It is the ultimate toolkit for crafting your online presence. With Squarespace, it's really about more than just building a website. It's about shaping your online identity and making your mark. So say goodbye to checkout headaches with Squarespace's flexible payment options. From credit cards to Apple Pay, they've got you covered. And if you live in an eligible country, they offer buy now, pay later options with Afterpay and ClearPay, which means that your customers have even more ways to purchase your products. So head over to squarespace.com and kickstart your journey with a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, don't forget to use our link squarespace.com/brownambition to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Just visit squarespace.com/brownambition to get your discount today. Remember, your online success story begins with Squarespace. So what are you waiting for? Let's build something extraordinary together.
Okay, and we're black and back. And now it's time for Booster Break Up, Booster Break Up, Booster Break Up, Boost. Are you gonna boost? Are you gonna break? Is you gonna break? Which one are you gonna do, Manta? Which one will you take? Boost or break? Because yours is big. Mine is short, so I'll just do, and then that way we can wax poetic on yours, like, after.
Yeah.
Okay, so mine is really little. Of course, I just forgot it. Darn it! It was not like a big one. It was like, oh my God, it was right here at the teep.
You spent too much energy helping me think of mine.
I know. No, what was it? It was, okay. This is my my boost. It's a big deal, but not like a big deal for me personally. I've decided that, like, y'all know I've been, like, redesigning my life. I have not spoken to Dr. Green in a month, and we finally had our session, like, last week, and I was sharing her all the changes, and she was like, are you just in awe of the woman that you're becoming, Tiffany? And I'm scared. But I told her that one of the things on my list is I want more space and time to just do the things that I enjoy. You know, that sometimes I feel so rushed and the next thing and the next thing. And I said, so next year, I told my admin Rose to put an X on March, to put an X on August, and to put an X on December. Meaning I'm not going to work those 3 months, and I'm super excited about it. You know, because I'm just like, I'm telling all of my partners, you know, ahead of time, so that way they want to work with me.
Very smart.
It doesn't mean that nothing will get posted, you know, but it just means that, like, I will pre-tape, like, let's just say I'm like, oh, they want me to do some reels or whatever. All those things will be done because my team will still be working. But, you know, I want to create space where I'm like, I'm not overworking, you know, because I'm not going to lie, I was doing really well until the Netflix special came out. And then it triggered old Tiffany, which is, oh girl, we about to get it. And then I was like, oh my gosh. And I didn't know how to turn it off. And then I got really sick with that upper respiratory. And it sat my behind down. And I said, I don't want to go back to that. Like, there has to be a way to, you know, celebrate something good or promote something without breaking myself. Because that's what I would just do. I would power through. And I don't want to be that Tiffany anymore. And so I do say all that to say that, like, I'm excited because I'm like, that's what next year is going to look like. I don't know how I'm going to work it out, but I told myself, first you work it out by intending it, then you say it, then you let people know, and then we work around it. And so I'm excited about that. So that's my boostie. But I know you have a huge boost, Manja.
Yeah. I'm excited. Yeah, I'm very, very, very freaking proud. So y'all know that I started my book proposal journey this past summer. I started working with a book proposal coach because I think, like a lot of journalists and writers, I always wanted to write a book, but it was never happening. And I realized I needed some accountability. So I started working with this coach in June. And at the same time, another coach for my Mandy Moneymakers Academy. And doing those two things at the same time made me really pull back in my business so I could have more space for that. And they worked there was a method to the madness. The coaching around the Mandy Moneymakers Academy was how can I create still the same amount of value, but less of a high touch process. So I wouldn't have to show up live as often and reinvent the wheel every time I had a new cohort, basically. So how could I create like on-demand content and take everything I'd already done and just make it more automatic? And that freed up time for me to focus on my book proposal. So my book proposal, I started working on. I took a big break in September when I was just free launching Mandy Moneymakers, and that went off successfully. And then October, I hit it again, and I'm done. I finished it. 70 pages of book proposal.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm really 70 proud.
Pages, girl. That's a book.
Yes. I felt like it. 70 pages, 9 or 10 chapters of a book. The working title is Quit Your Way Rich. So right on brand.
Yes. I love it.
Yes. And it feels exactly like it just feels like what it's so cohesive with everything that I've been doing the past 2 years in my business, and it just makes sense. And I do feel like it's evergreen. And even though the pandemic and the Great Resignation happened, I believe this is going to be the kind of career book that can just be a staple for anyone in their lives. But so what happens now? This is like a very big but early stage book proposal is done. Now I shop it to find an agent, and when I find an agent, they will then take it and sell it to a publisher. So yes. With Thanksgiving coming up, the clock is ticking. I really want to have an agent before the holiday. I don't know if that's realistic or not. My proposal coach should be pitching people this week, but I hope it finds a home, and I'll keep y'all posted. First of all, as ever,
let me tell you something about Mandy. If she's nothing, she's ready. Because of how I am, I said, let me see if this domain, Quit Your Way Rich, is available, because I was going to tell her one of the first things to go gather it. I type into my phone, quityourwayrich.com, and I said, oh man, it's taken. And then I see a picture of this beautiful woman with these curls popping, and her name is Mandy Witch of Santos. And I'm like, girl, Mandy ain't playing with y'all. She was like, I love that you grabbed that domain. Cause I was like, oh, she just said it. The people know. She gotta get that domain ASAP. No, but honestly, I am so happy for you and proud of you. And I just can't wait to, you know, watch your journey. Just make sure as you're writing the book, to keep in mind to save some reserves, because everyone says this, but it doesn't feel like it because writing the book part is so hard that's easy compared to the marketing.
Terrified of the marketing.
I know. Don't worry about it. We got you. But I'm just saying.
I know you got me. Like, I will. Yes. I know you
But I'm just saying that like the book part obviously is very intense, and it is. But
yeah,
you know, the marketing part, it's just, I mean, I've learned so many things, you know, I'm like, and even now, literally, because I have so many friends writing books now that I'm actually working on like more easy to digest checklist that I told you, Mandy, that I'll give, because I gave you like my full 7 month deep dive. And I'm like, a lot of my friends are like, this too much. So I'm like, maybe I could just get like a basic checklist, like get the domain. Here's when you should start asking for reviews. Did you know that reviews with pictures on Amazon are prioritized? Reviews without pictures? Make sure you ask for that. You see what I mean? So I want to get like a checklist, so it'll, you know, for people who are going to do the deep dive with my 7 month like kind of like layout, but also for folks who are like not necessarily going to do all that, but these little nuanced things that make all the difference. But yeah, no, I'm so proud of you, because I know how hard that is. And the fact that it's 70 pages, I mean, that's such a, I'm glad you did that, because one, it'll allow a potential publisher to know exactly what they're getting, you know, because I'm not gonna lie, I didn't wanna do, because I forget how many pages it was around 70, something like that, something crazy too.
Between 50 and 100 is like standard, I think.
Yes, but I want to do like a 10 page. And my agent, Heather, was like, you can do that. But the issue with that is then the publisher has to kind of guess what your book is going to be about. And she said, the longer, not necessarily the length, but more in depth it is, that means you've already done the work of really mapping out what you want to write. And so that helped a lot, because I didn't really care about what the publisher was going to think. But for me, it allowed me to say, Tiffany, I was so clear about this is the book I'm writing. And when, you know, I finally chose my publisher and they chose me, Penguin, nobody was guessing what's the book going to be about. We were all on the same page, because they bought it based upon the, you know, the proposal. So yeah, it's exciting. Woohoo! Look at Mandra.
It's a good test too, because if you weren't excited to write, if you couldn't get the proposal out of your body, and like, I'm not opposed to anyone having a ghostwriter or a developmental proposal, like co-creator. I think collaboration's great. But if I'm like, I'm going to be sitting with this book for months and years, because that's how long it takes, I need to really want to say this stuff and to feel passionate about it. And I did. I felt that way. It was. I'm not going to say it wasn't hard, because, you know, you have to make that commitment and lots of early mornings before Rio woke up. But it was all worth it. And my proposal coach is really optimistic that I'll be able to get a deal. Girl, but first, I got to get an agent.
It's happening. Agent is happening. The book is happening. It is, because it's, one, it's super timely to your point, but it's also evergreen, which is really awesome. I want to see you on the cover, just so you know. I want to see some curls popping.
Really?
I need a book. Oh, I do.
Can't think that far ahead.
Yes, I know. But I'm like, no, we need to get more brown girls on the cover. They need to be like, oh, okay, I'll see you. Like, no. I want to go to that Barnes & Noble section and be like, oh, brown, 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 brown.
Oh, that would be amazing. But it would be amazing. I just want, and I feel like y'all are invested in the journey. Obviously, Tiff has been invested in the journey. Just want to do everybody proud. And I want to write a book that fucking changes lives and makes people feel more empowered the same way that I do my, you know, everything that I do in my business. So it feels good. Y'all send me some good book vibes.
Give Mandy some good. I want you to hit her on Twitter. I know she's not on Twitter as much, but all the foolish
Instagram
on Twitter. Instagram, all right. Hit her up and just like, you know, send her a DM and just be like, girl, you got this. I can't wait. Yeah, I'm just super happy, honestly, because it is like, for me, it wasn't so much Barnes & Nobles, but I was like, if I could see my book in Target, because I go to Target all the time. And it still hasn't hit me when I see it at Target. I'm like, I'm in the place where I spend all my money.
Oh, and I have to tell you, you know, like I told you, my proposal coach has your book in her background. And then also when she was showing me, there's like different steps in the process. And when I was designing my book proposal, there's always a comparison, like a competitor analysis where you look at the top five books. And I think the three samples she showed me, they were like similar. They were financial books, and Good Good with Money was right there at the top. Like, this is the bar. This is proof. Because it's proof that financial books by women of color can do great, you know?
Yes.
So I love seeing that for sure. Yeah. It wasn't on my list because it ain't about money. But but it is like, it is the bar now. You are the bar.
Oh,
bitch,
you.
You're the bar. Alien superstar.
I was just listening to Renaissance today. Girl, I don't know why.
Me
I'm
too.
Like so obsessed with Plastic on the Couch, right? I'm just so like, that's, I mean, I've always loved it, but just recently, I'm just like, I was, it's in the car, like, and people were beside
it's
me.
It's cuffing,
like,
season, that's why. I don't know, what are you trying to say?
No.
A little romantical?
Oh my gosh, but yeah, so it's just, I'm just excited. So yeah, it's like this new, I just love what we get to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That we get to do. Like, you know, pour into the people that we care about, our audience, in so many different ways, you know, from the podcast to our individual businesses to books. You know, it's just, I don't know that professionally it gets better than this, because everyone can't say that they can see the direct correlation of what they do and the people that they're serving, you know. And so we get to say that this is why I was a school teacher, because selfishly I was like, I want to see my work. You know, and I love the fact that I'm like, oh my gosh, Rio can read because I taught him, you know? And so like what we do here, it's like, wow, look how many people we get to help instantly. Like someone's going to listen to this and be like, because of you guys, dot, 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 you know? So just, you know, I'm just proud of you, Mandy. Because I know it was a little touch and go in the beginning. You're like, what? Now look, they're lost.
I know. I'll never forget that pivot for me and what happened and how you were there to lift me back up. It'll always be one of the reasons I love you the most. But
oh, and same, Mandy. Same.
Yeah. All right.
Well, don't get me to start crying. Anyway.
I was just about to say, the podcast network, y'all listen, Tiffany's not available March. What was it? March, August. What am I going to do?
March, August, December. Well, no, we're going to figure it out. Like, even if I pre-tape some stuff, we're going to figure it out. Or even if I say, it's my first year doing it, like, I'll do two episodes. You know what I mean? We're going to figure it out. But I just said, let me say it and then adjust to it, you know?
Oh, yeah. We're very nimble. We got it.
So don't worry if you're like, I want more. There is more. You already know, every Friday we have the BAQA, where if you have questions, we have some answers. And so we'll see you on Friday.
BAQA.
Hey. Bye, y'all.
Hey, BA fam, we could not do this show without your support or the support of our team behind the scenes. The Brown Ambition podcast is produced by Cumulus Podcast Network. It's edited by the wonderful Imani Crosby and produced by Tanya Bustos. Dennis Stemplinski is our in-house tech guru, and I am Mandy Woodruff Santos, your co-host, and I will see y'all next week.
The Bigger Pockets portfolio of podcasts are worthy of your investment.
We're having a real conversation as real estate investors.
New episodes available every day.
It's important to buy where it makes money and not necessarily where you want to travel to.
Bigger Pockets, On the Market, Rookie Real Estate, or Money Podcast.
The purpose of flipping is to create more cash so then you can reinvest into other types of properties.
The Bigger Pockets podcast on YouTube or wherever you listen.